Hi, everyone. I'm very happy today to be speaking with Tom Gallia. Tom is a mechanical engineer by training, and he's the co-founder of an app called Luminate, which uses something called sensory entrainment to create an altered state. And it's done all using the flashlight on your phone. So, Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Pleasure. So I'm excited about this conversation because this is a little bit different to some of the other conversations we've had. We're still talking about something psychedelic, I would say. Psychedelic means mind manifesting. And you are one of the founders of a company called Luminate. You have a really interesting app that uses the flashlight on your phone to induce an altered state. So maybe you could explain how that all works and what exactly it is.
Yeah, of course. I think it's probably great to start from a little way back because I think it ties really nicely into that sort of mind manifesting mission that you were talking about. Me and my co-founder actually met 12 years ago at university studying engineering and quickly moved on to work at Jaguar Land Rover doing far future concept design. Here we got exposed to this idea of trying to identify underlying human desires and design experiences or solutions to meet those. Soon realized the corporate world was a little bit of a challenging place to make a real difference to the world. So we started chatting about if we were to do something else and pour this energy elsewhere, what would we try and do? And we came to the idea of just going after a vision. So no idea of a product or service, but diving into that. And we started with inspiring people to live more fulfilling lives. From there, we did a load of research, speaking to people about what fulfillment meant to them. We'd left our jobs at this point, so really jumping in at the deep end. And we narrowed it down to this idea of inspiring people and giving them a new perspective. From there, as engineers, we ended up building like this model with 16 categories of inspiration. But the one which ends up linking into where we ended up going was this idea of exploring your own subconscious, or as you would say, something being able to manifest from your own mind. So we got really excited by this. One, from a personal level, I've been following the psychedelic renaissance pretty closely. I've been super excited by what I've been doing, but unfortunately it had the sort of issue of not being hugely accessible. And other ways that people can enter these states have also been generally quite inaccessible to most people. So we set about on a mission trying to understand how we could create an accessible way for someone to enter an impactful altered state of consciousness. We ended up looking at all the different neurology of this, reading up on shamanic trance states, dream states, psychedelic states, bought our own EEG and set about running months of our own experiments to try and understand what the brain's doing in these states and how we could recreate some of that using technology. It was around then that we found this one unpeer-reviewed paper looking at strobes as a way to induce an altered state of consciousness. And it spiked our curiosity enough to start diving down. I think everyone also has a little bit of a weird story of how they got to the strobe space. I always remember when I used to go to university in Liverpool, there was this one fence, but when the sun was at a certain position, when I walked past it, it would like flicker at a certain rate. And so I was like, what is happening there? And it sort of like sparked that memory back. And when we were like, okay, maybe we can go back to that. From there, we started developing this technology, and it's essentially using a flashing light to synchronize your brain waves and then allow you to guide the brain into an altered state of consciousness. We ran loads of our own EEG studies, and we were lucky enough to get invited by Robin Carhart-Harris to come and speak to his team at Imperial and present out our research. Got some of those guys on board and been working with Graham Campbell, the psychiatrist, who was also working at Imperial at the time on a DMT trial, to work on our scripts and how we can make this as impactful as possible. From there, we basically started developing the app and got our heads down. And Jay taught himself app development. I taught myself everything else from music production and all the rest of it. And through lockdown, we built Luminate.
Yeah, and I mean, what's great about it, obviously, goes without saying, it really works. You know, as a seasoned psychonaut, I was very curious to see, okay, what's this going to be like? And was really, really fascinated by it. And you know, it's probably worth mentioning, there's of course the flickering light, which is the juice of it, I would say, but also the music is a really, really important element of it as well. You know, this is kind of immersive, and the narration, which we can talk both about. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the music, you know, because of obviously in any psychedelic experience, sometimes the music is called the second therapist or the third therapist. It's such a key part of the experience. And I think in my experience using Luminate, I think it is there too. So what are some of the considerations you had when you were approaching, okay, what music are we going to use for this?
Yeah, sure. And I would really echo that. I think very much within both stroboscopic and psychedelic states, there is this sort of view that I would quite strongly agree with, that they're almost a catalyst for change. So they themselves don't necessarily drive the value, but they open you up in a way and give you a new perspective in a way that value is more easily found. And within Luminate, that's how we use the music as well. So we typically try and offer up a range of different emotions for our sessions, and we have different sessions for different topics, some which are driven to be more energetic and more euphoric. Euphoric release is one of them, which is specifically aimed at that. Others are like a lot more open and expansive, so offering up all sorts of different emotions, and people will tend to latch on to whatever feels most relevant to them in that moment. Another interesting aspect of the music and how we compose soundtracks for all of our sessions. And another interesting part is that when you have more rhythmic elements, it tends to be a more intense experience, but a less explorative one. So we tend to find that we really aim to pair that sort of intense rhythmic part and then releases into a slightly more expansive open area, where it's almost like you drive towards a high energy epiphany, and then you have a little bit of time to actually think that through and integrate it and see what's come up for you within that. And that's another interesting area that we like to play around with. And that sort of idea of taking on an emotional journey is actually, so recently out of Freie University in Berlin, a paper which actually got published properly 2 days ago showed that under this stroboscopic altered state of consciousness, people's emotional response to music was significantly enhanced. The paper actually replicated a study which had been done in Imperial College using LSD, and they found the same result, not too shockingly. And then this team in Berlin, with a bit of support from us, went through and thought, if we replicate this experiment exactly, will we see a similar effect? And actually the effect was really quite strikingly similar in terms of which emotions and which particular areas were particularly lifted, and the effect size in total was about half a degree of LSD. Again, as you say, that music as a third therapist, this really opens up some interesting pieces for us in terms of how we can use music to drive therapeutic value when someone is in this more open and receptive altered state of consciousness that the strobe can place them into.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And of course, anyone who's had these experiences will know what that lived experience of, you know, for example, when the music is more intense, the experience is more intense. And when the music is more slow and expansive, you have a little bit of space. You know, people who, you know, having run psychedelic retreats, we guard our playlists very carefully because it's such a huge part of it. There's also narration, and one of your narrators is quite well known, is the actress Rosamund Pike. And so how did, her narration is lovely, obviously being a professional actor, but how did that come about? How did she get involved in the project?
Yeah, we're so wildly spoiled to have such an amazing actor who comes in and does virtually all of our voiceover now. She actually ended up, so one of our investors snuck her onto our beta testing list, and we weren't aware, but all of a sudden we kept seeing this dot appearing, and at this point we only had about 40 people using the app, so we pretty much knew what every dot in analytics was and who it was. We kept seeing, but we're like, who is that? And eventually she reached out to us and said that she'd been absolutely loving the app and had found it really impactful for her. And asked if there was any way that she could help out. Initially, we thought maybe we'd do a guest session or something like that. But as the conversation went on, she really wanted to help out and asked if she could come in as our creative director and been the voice of all our sessions since. She also helps us quite a bit with the editing of the scripts and a few other pieces as well. I feel like a lot of people see a celebrity working on a project and imagine that they're sort of just a face for it. But I could even think of days where I've been absolutely knackered, got on a call with her, and she's been like, Tom, you look tired. What on your to-do list can I take off and do for you? And stuff like that. So she's an absolute star.
That's really sweet. That's great. No, and it seems a really nice fit because her voice really lends itself to this kind of journeying. So, you know, on that note, maybe you could take us through what exactly is an average experience. Someone gets the app on their phone. What happens next?
Yeah, so the first thing we do is go for a safety screening. Obviously, with the use of stroboscopic light and flickering light, it is not safe for everyone. If someone has any visual epilepsy, then we, obviously screen out for that. As we go through, we then go through a few instructions, teach people how to set up. It's a little bit of a clunky process to explain to someone, so you need to turn your phone so that the flashlight's facing you instead of the screen, close your eyes to use it, and hold it right by your face. It's not typically how you use an app. So we run through that and take them on this first discovery experience where it just sort of gives them a bit of a feel for what the experience is. You then come into our main library where we've got, I think, about 40 different experiences which are focused on all different topics. Some of these are music only, so really leaning into that music to drive that emotional exploration and journeying and that side. Others have the voice guidance as well. I think the thing that really unites all of the experiences together is this real focus on like immersing someone in the present moment. And this is the thing that comes up again and again from our users. And we hear it from people who have been teaching meditation for 10 years and people who have never meditated in their lives or done any of these experiences. But it really just pulls you into that present moment and quietens that sort of brain chatter and allows you to gain a more observer-like perspective on thoughts and feelings that you're going through within that point. And I guess almost like hypersensitizes what's going on in that moment with the music and pieces like that as well. But yeah, all of our experiences are sort of between, I think we've got some that are down to 2 minutes, but I would strongly recommend starting with at least a 10-minute session up to about half an hour. And yeah, they're just done in the dark with a flashlight facing you. It's music and light. You can expect to see visual hallucinations with it, colors, patterns. And feel that sort of slight reduction in sense of ego, time, body, things that are also associated with psychedelic states. I would say we sit somewhere in between a psychedelic state and a deeply meditative state. We're not quite either world, but somewhere in between them.
Yeah, and I find it fascinating that it involves technology that we use every day, but then takes us sort of somewhere that's not like looking into our phones, you know. Actually, the first psychedelic article I ever wrote, I think it was in 2006 or something, and I was like in university or just yeah, I was in university. It was called Psychedelic Technology, and making the argument that psychedelics are like a technology. And what's interesting about Luminate is that you're also sort of playing with, well, how can technology enhance this experience more? And one of the new things you have, which I've been using, is this AI assistant to help you sort of prepare for your experience. Now, this is interesting because there is talk in the psychedelic world of how could AI play a role in a kind of therapeutic or preparatory or for integration. Not that many people are talking about it yet because it's quite new. There's somebody researching it at Imperial, and there's a couple other people looking at it. The benefit that you have at Luminate is that you have a live user base, and you can do it for people who are having this experience with the flickering and the sensory entrainment. So tell us a little bit about what is it exactly, what does it involve, and what are you noticing so far? I know it's early days, but yeah, it'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, of course. And this is a feature I'm super excited by. I think when we look at the world of psychedelic therapy, the importance of this preparatory work and the integration work, I mean, typically that takes an awful lot more time than the actual experience itself, in a psychedelic therapy environment. And within Luminate, we've had some emphasis on this, but voice guidance and bits we use there are also trying to help with that preparatory work. We've always had a journal after the experience to try and encourage people to do some form of integration. But it's been an area where I've really wanted to try and enhance the experience. We've started working with Graham and a couple of other psychiatrists looking at what is important within that and how can we possibly generalize and bring that into a sort of personalized experience. So yeah, from there we looked at these different chat options. We tried some image-based pieces as well. But essentially now we have the option before going into an experience where you can basically say that you want to work with this AI chat, and it will help you prepare for the experience. It will help you explore what might be going on in the day for you. and try and pull out some form of intention or something for you to be going into the experience focused on and thinking about. Currently, we have it in two different forms. So there is one where you can pick an experience and then it will step in. And there is another way you can come in not knowing what experience you want to do, and it'll work with you to select that experience and bring that integration and then do that intention setting piece. We're now working on a version two of that. So this first piece, we launched it and found that it was increasing engagement for those who worked with who used it, and also increasing impact ratings from the experiences. We also ran a load of user interviews to understand what impact it was having, and have just been super excited and kind of blown away by the results. So we then decided to double down on that and start working on version two. Version two expands on this a little bit and has a slightly more intensive intention setting where you can set what you're coming in initially with, whether you're trying to relax, whether you're trying to explore something in particular, and it'll have slightly different variants of that intention setting chat. And we've also got an integration end out the other side, where it basically checks up on that intention at the end of the experience and asks you how it went.
Yeah, great. It was a very interesting time for this kind of technology. I've used Luminate and that function actually after breath work, for example. I'm training as a breath work facilitator. So breathing pretty much every day. Obviously, I'm breathing every day. I'm doing breath work every day. And what's what's interesting about that is something that I think we're going to be seeing more and more as psychedelics go more mainstream and are decriminalized and increasingly, and especially for medical practice, but beyond as well, is the combination of different practices together. That is really the, that's what my work is really focused on a lot. It's the scientist John Verveke, he talks about an ecology of practices that is, there's not just one practice that fits everything. We can't just meditate and that's going to fix our depression or our anxiety or help us find purpose in life. Every practice has a different purpose, let's say, enables different things in our lives. What are you looking to the future? What are you excited about this technology, about other technologies? What's your kind of the beginnings of a vision for the future.
Yeah, I think all of these different things are really exciting tool sets to help people explore in different ways. As I said before, this state is somewhere between deep meditation and a psychedelic state. It doesn't really do either, and it's definitely not a replacement for either. It's really exciting seeing these tools progress, and I think what we offer is a really accessible way to immerse in that present moment. I think more so than any other option out there, it really drives that forwards. I would love in the future as well to start exploring how we can start integrating things like breath work within what we do too. One area we have been speaking quite a lot to different neurologists around this and around the possible safety risks, because obviously both have an association with seizures in vulnerable individuals. And we're trying to understand how that works. Is that additive if people use stroboscopic plus breath work, and whether there are routes down that side too. And I think hopefully, as our intention setting and integration tools get stronger as well, there could definitely be space for us to offer those up as a standalone. So for people who want to do other experiences, to still be able to be working with the intention setting and integration tools that we provide. But yeah, overall, it's just super exciting to see how many things are developing in the space. Like every time I take another look, someone's got a new idea. And I think the tool set for mental health and mental well-being is just growing all the time with loads of really exciting options.
Yeah, absolutely. And something you said just made me think about the difference between a difference I think about a lot because I do a lot of facilitation online and a lot of facilitation in person. And the difference between that, I know you have a kind of in-person device that you can, put on your head. And I wonder if you've thought about, this, could there be retreat centers that are using, this technology? Perhaps there's lots of other things going on at the same time. Is that something you've looked into?
Yeah, quite possibly. In fact, quite likely at some point. I think the optionality to be able to have these more group-like experiences and the connection that comes from it is super powerful. I think a project which did this really well was the Dream Machine in the UK, which basically did a stroboscopic experience in a similar way. It was an Arts Council funded piece of work. and did have that group element around it too, and was super. It was an amazing experience. I went to laughing 3 times, and thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, I think there is definitely the optionality to explore the group side of things. The challenge for it right now is we've always been pushing for having as much access and as much impact as possible. And right now, through our app, we are able to reach a really quite significant audience. And I guess the difficulty of hitting that size of impact through other means, it's not impossible, and we could definitely get there. But the work required to get to that sort of scale of impact in any other way is pretty significant.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all is often the trade-off. I find that, it's a similar dynamic with running courses and experiences online. There's no way you could ever have an event, or it'd be very difficult to have an event with people from like 50 different countries coming all together. And it's also interesting, online people really value that and find there's something very special about being in a breakout room in a Zoom with people from 3 different continents and different backgrounds and different perspectives, all coming together to kind of have the similar experience. So it's similar, even if they're not talking to each other, with lots of people, connecting with Luminate on their phones. I imagine you have a kind of somewhat of a community forming around that.
We actually have a Facebook community which is pretty active, where people talk about their experiences, share ideas. We see all sorts of weird and wonderful ways that people are positioning their phones. But yeah, it's a really interesting place to take a look.
And so last thing I wanted to touch on was just a little bit kind of zooming out and just get your perspective on, you talked about the mission, or part of your mission being, helping people lead more fulfilling lives. Where do you see, as well as, Luminate, but also, psychedelics, what's your hope for the future of all these different practices and approaches? What's the psychedelic future that you would like to see?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think from my perspective, there's a real mix, because there's one side which is alleviating suffering, which is a very sort of sharp and very tangible aspect of what I hope these tools can deliver. There are a lot of people who are really struggling with a lot of things, and there's definitely that side, but there's also, I guess, more on the well-being side of things, allowing people to feel comfortable and confident and clear in what they want to be doing and what they're achieving with their lives. I think our idea of this sort of more fulfilling lives really came down to this sort of successive personal growth cycles, where someone's growing towards what they want to become in life and having that feeling of momentum towards that, and that, I guess, comfort in knowing that you're doing what you want to be doing and moving in the right way. And that's so different for so many different people. And it's something that we've often struggled with when we're writing content, and how much we want to lead someone into what our view of fulfillment and success is, and how open we leave that slate for people to attach whatever they want to that. But yeah, I think there's the twofold side. There's definitely that alleviation of suffering. But then also that increase in sense of fulfillment and that sense of positivity and confidence in oneself.
It's such an interesting point around what's called priming in the psychedelic research. Everything that you might say to someone who's about to have a psychedelic experience is in some sense priming them for a particular type of experience. And it's not possible, in my view, to not prime someone in some way, so that you have to be ethical about how you're approaching it. I even remember mentioning to a participant on a retreat, in our one-to-one, offhand, I mentioned something about Australian football because he was into that, and I had a friend who was into it. And then in his experience the next day, he'd spent like an hour in an Australian football related, like visions. And I was thinking, yeah, that's really,
A
in a
little
way,
bit
you can't avoid
scary.
it. Yeah, but it
It's,
is, it's super important how you frame it.
yeah, for sure. And it's that comes like back, I guess, to what I was saying earlier, of this sense that these states are a catalyst for the change. In a way, I almost see them as great confusers of the mind, where the mind is suddenly looking for something to latch meaning onto and some way to almost like hallucinate up a reality for itself. And that means it suddenly pulls on all sorts of memories, ideas, and offers those up and goes, So if you're feeling happy, you're more likely to see happy imagery. If you're feeling this, you're more likely to see all these different pieces. And I think that touches onto that, but I guess that part of the brain offered up American Australian football. And the brain latches onto it and goes, yeah, that's what I'm experiencing. It must be Australian football.
It's this kind of deep mystery, isn't it? Like also, you know, that same dynamic that means that, you know, if we're feeling a bit more happy, we might have a happier experience or vice versa. It's also kind of where I think a lot of the transformation comes from, because if, you know, the mind given a sufficiently complex set of variables, like, you know, the introduction of the stimulus of the flickering light or a psychedelic, will go where it needs to go very often. You know, it just needs the nudge. It just needs the excuse, and also the capacity, and so it's sort of the interruption of normal consciousness. And there is this general theme in the psychedelic world of non-interference. You know, but there's also a dynamic, and this is research my wife does, of, you know, there is sometimes where you do need to give some guidance, and it's helpful for the person. So, you know, it's interesting with what might lie ahead for, you know, tools like the AI guide, you know, whether have you thought of that actually going into the experience itself in some way?
So we've actually built an internal demonstrator where we played around with whether we could have it sort of live generating a script and running that way and having that voiced into the experience. And it's, I think the technology is not quite there at the moment. I think the ultimately our assessment was that yes, the personalization adds value, but it doesn't add sufficient value for it to be better than a less personalized but well-written human version. And therefore we decided to take that out and just have it suggest the most relevant content off our existing library. But as these technologies progress forwards, I think that depth of personalization throughout experiences will be really powerful. I really see that in this stroboscopic and in psychedelic states, there is just this sort of openness of the mind where if you offer up the right things, it can be really valuable for someone.
Absolutely. So fascinating stuff. And I think a lot of people watching will probably really want to try it out. So how can people try out Luminate?
Fortunately, that's one of the easiest bits. So it's available on the App Store or Play Store. If you just search for Luminate, it's free to download. We always, again, wanted to push on the accessibility side. So we made sure that there are a set of sessions which are free and will always be free. So it doesn't suddenly lock down on you. And then if you really love what we're doing, there is a subscription within the app as well, which you can then unlock all the rest of the content that we've been working on.
Brilliant. And yeah, I recommend it. It's been an interesting addition to my ecology of practices. So, Tom Gallia, thank you so much for taking the time.
Not at all. Thank you.